Welcome to the Cedar House Church Sermon of the Week. Our desire is to remain in God's presence, explore His passions, and supply tools that serve and inspire our city.
We're going to hear the word this morning from Pastor Hicks. He's going to bring the message for us. So blessed.
Come on, let's give Jesus a clap off and a praise. Hallelujah. Excited to be here in the presence of the Lord. God is so faithful to us. Even when we are not faithful, God is always faithful. Ain't that right? How many haven't been faithful from time to time? But our God remains consistent in His faithfulness from generation to generation. He is our Father, and we love Him. I can promise you that the air conditioning system is definitely working in this place. How many can say amen to that? I was like, I wonder if they realize this, we are actually in wintertime. We need to be working on the heater. So I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is real. He is amazing. He's always on time. He's always doing amazing things in and through our lives. There's nothing that we cannot expect God to do. There's nothing that we cannot expect Him to do in our lives and for us. I want to pray. I know it's been a lot of prayer, but there's nothing wrong with continually praying because God want to hear what we have to say. So I want to pray for us as we get ready to just share for a brief moment in the Word. I promise you we will say what we have to say and we will get out of the way. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for this opportunity that we get to spend in Your Word. To encourage each other, Lord God, we know that Your word is alive, that Your word is powerful, that Your word is like a two-edged sword. It is dividing the sunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, Lord God. We thank You that Your word is everything that we need for our lives. And we pray, Lord God, thanking You that You've given us Your Holy Spirit to give us direction in our lives, empower us to do the things that we cannot do on our own, Father. So we love You and we praise You and we give You the glory and the honor. Thank You for the elders, Lord God. Thank You for the new board. Thank You for Pastor Kwame, Lord God. Thank You for this church and everyone, Lord God, that is participating in, Lord God, behind the scene, doing things that we do not see them do openly. But Lord God, they are doing it, Lord, because they love You. And they want to serve You with all of their hearts. So we pray for this church. We pray for the finances. We pray for everything that concerns Cedar House Church, the church that You have founded. And we give You thanks and we give You praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God say it. Amen. Just for a few moments, we're just going to spend some time in the Word. But I want to start with a couple of verses of Scripture for us to think about as we get into the text that we're gonna talk about today. I'm not gonna be saying anything new, right? Not gonna be saying anything that you have not heard before. So if that's what you came for, you're not gonna get it today. We're gonna stick directly to the text, to the Word of God, and we're gonna let God speak to our hearts what His Word says about us. So I want you to go to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. This is the foundation of Scripture that I want us to look at. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of the Lord, a servant of God, will be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So all Scripture, every time that you and I open up the Word of God, every time that we spend time in the Word of God, we can know for a surety that God's Word is real. That is it's the breath of God that you read, and it's the breath of God that you're spending time with. And when we read it, It builds breadth. It gives breadth to us, gives us strength that we can stand firm in the time that we're living in. Now, another verse of scripture that I want us to look at is in Joshua chapter number 1. And then we'll get into the text that we're gonna discuss today. Joshua chapter number 1. And I'll read verse number 6 through verse number 9. It says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I've sworn to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey everything that I've written. Turn not to the left or to the right, that you may be successful in whatever, wherever you go. Keep this book of the law on your lips." Keep it on your lips. That means every day, every time that I wake up, all through the day, at night, I'm constantly putting the word of God in my mind, because that's the only thing that's going to change our lives. That's the only thing that's going to help us to stand firm in this generation that we're living in. It's the word of God. So we're going to be looking at, somebody messed with the mic. I don't know who it was, but just leave it, please. Where is that? And we're going to get out the way. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter number 1. And we're going to be talking about the power of God's word for daily living. That's what God intended is for our lives. God wants us to live our lives to the fullest every day. And I believe that wholeheartedly, that when we spend time in the word of God and we get the word of God inside of our hearts and inside of our mind, every day of our lives, we can live and be successful in our walk with God. God did not, amen, save us to live defeated lives. He saved us that we can walk in power, that we can, amen, be the example that the world needs to see every day of our lives, no matter if we're in the workplace, no matter if we're in the gym, wherever you and I are. We can let the word of God be the foundation of our lives that we can stand up on in the midst of the trials that we experience in a life. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have tribulations, but be of a good courage, because I have overcome the world." So life will bring trials. It will bring tests. It will bring tribulations. But guess what? If we are founded up on the word of God, if we are standing up on God's word, then you and I can walk in victory every day. Ephesians chapter number 1, and just to give some historical context to what this book is about, the book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. Hallelujah, praise God. That means he was encouraging believers that were not in prison while he was in prison to walk upright and to let the word of God be the foundation of their lives. The book of Ephesians was written, amen, to saints and faithful Christians. The book of Ephesians was like the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul wrote, which centers on the all-sufficiency of Christ. That means Christ is everything. That means he is all that I need. That means, amen, there's nothing else besides Christ that I need in my life that's going to sustain me. It is, amen, Christ's sufficiency that holds us all together in Christ. And we find this in Colossians, in Christ we're hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How many need wisdom? Come on, how many need knowledge? It's in Christ. Amen. If you're looking for wisdom and knowledge, it's found in Christ. All the fullness of God dwells inside of him. In him is the fullness. All the deities dwell bodily in him. In verse number 27 of chapter 1 of Colossians, we see this: "To them, God willed to make known what was the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Hallelujah, praise God. Christ in you and I, the hope of glory. So the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And I believe that, I mean, even though we see that in the text that he was, you know, to the church at Ephesus, we know that the book of Ephesians was a circulating letter, that it was intended for all the churches in the region to read it and pass it. How many ever been a part of a book club? Anybody been a part of a book club? You read a book, it's good, you pass it on to somebody else. That's how they used to do it back in the day. You read a book, you pass it on to somebody else. Here, amen, Apostle Paul wrote this letter, and his intent was that when you read it, you pass it on to the next person, that they can be inspired and encouraged by the word of God. This is what our lives about. Not only are we reading the word of God, but we want our lives to reflect everything that the word of God says about us, that when people see us, it will be as if they're reading the word of God in real time. Come on, that's what our lives are supposed to reflect. So let's look at the text, verse number one. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Verse number two, in the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Boy, I'm so glad that God did it. Come on, I'm so glad that God, Pastor Kwame, didn't leave that responsibility in the hands of a man. Because if he would have, guess what? The majority of us would not be here. Come on, if he had left it in responsibility of man to choose who would get access to the kingdom, I can promise you I wouldn't have been on that list. But I'm so thankful that it was according to his good pleasure. Look what it says in verse number four. He chose us from the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Verse number seven says, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made us to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known the mystery of his will. That go back to Colossians, which is what? What is the mystery of his will? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ living in you. Christ all around you. Christ, amen, in everything that you say. Christ is in every thought that you have. Christ is in every step that you make. Christ in every place that you go is what the church has to exhibit to this world that we live in. Christ is everything. He is all that we need. The sufficiency of Christ is everything that, you know what, that's what been keeping me. That's what been keeping me in my walk with God, my journey with God. That's what been keeping me, the all-sufficiency of Christ, because I look to him for everything. Amen. I look for him for my job. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm thankful that I got a job. But guess what? If I don't have a job, guess what? Christ is still my all-sufficiency. He will provide everything that I need. He is my sufficiency. Amen. Jesus has chosen us that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. being predestined according to the purpose of him who work all things according to his will. And we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the truth, the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also you, I believe, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption purchase possession to the praise of his glory. So you and I are daily in a battle in our minds. We are constantly warring in our mind. You know what we are warring? We are warring with belief versus unbelief. Amen. Whether I will believe what God says, because I know that God is true, but the wrestle, the battle, the struggle in our mind, whether or not the circumstance that I'm faced with in my life, will I stand up on God's word and believe what he say about me? Amen. So we are constantly battling in our minds. We are constantly in a battle in our minds. In other words, we know that God, what God's words say, but to believe what God said and walk in what God said every day of our life is where the battle resides. Come on, how many struggle with that? Come on, every day I'm struggling, whether I will believe God or not. I know he said something to me. Come on, I know he spoke to me. I know that God hear my prayers. I know that God's word is true. I mean, we testify about that all the time. We sing about what we believe, but in real life situations, will we stand on what God's word says? Come on, how many God says something to? Come on, every time that God speaks a word, guess what? The enemy is coming to challenge that word so that you don't believe it and stand up on it. He's going to bring all kind of circumstances and situations in your life because he know that if you stand on the word of God, that word going to come to pass. I heard a brother say this here. A man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. Come on, it makes no difference how many times the enemy will try to argue in your mind and talk you out of what God said. Guess what? I had an experience with God. I'm not turning back. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep pressing on because I know that God is real in my life. Come on, how many had an experience with God? Come on, when you have an experience, guess what? You ain't at the mercy of a person who got an argument about who God is. No, I know who God is because I've experienced God in my life. I've experienced everything about what God is saying to me. What's more important, or what God said is more important than what is happening around us? Come on, what God said to you is more important than what's happening around you. There are a lot of things that's happening around us. There are a lot of, amen, things that are going on in our lives, but guess what? It's not as important as what God said to you. That's what's important, what God said to you. So let's look at verse number 3, and then we're going to get ready, amen, to close. Verse number 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Come on, say, I got everything that I need. Come on, you got to say it like you really mean it. Say, I got everything that I need. Come on, that's the truth. That's the truth. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Everything that I need for life, everything that I need to make it through this day, God has already gave it to me. It's already in me. I already have it. Look, touch yourself, say, I already got it. Come on, that's just like, you know, you buy a car and the salesperson tell you that this car is fully equipped. You're going to believe that. You're going to believe it because he's been selling cars. But why is it so hard for us to settle our mind upon the reality that what God said is real? It is the truth. God said, I have everything that I need. And when you know what? When it gets tight financially, we forget about that God said, I have everything that I need. That God can provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So God blessed us with everything that we need. We have everything. And guess what? The Apostle Paul wanted us to know this because he used a past tense verb, have. We already got it. We already possess what God has for us inside of us. The only thing that we have to do is start walking in what God has already given us. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means no demon, no demonic spirit, amen, no torment from the enemy, no mental health, no sickness, no disease, no poverty. None of those things have power over me because why? God has given me everything that I need, amen, to walk in his word. Look what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3, it says, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. That means I got everything. Everything that I need is in Christ Jesus. Look at another portion of that verse number 3. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, these spiritual blessings are only in Christ. That's why they found that. The spiritual blessings that you and I have as believers are in Christ. I'm in Christ. You are in Christ. We live our lives in Christ. Every day of our life, our mind is amen, is in Christ, and we govern it by the word of God. I always used to, when I talk to people, I used to take my Bible, and I would put it on the top of my head. And I would say, oh, if I can believe everything that this book say. Oh, if I can just get every word that God says in my mind. Amen. Just imagine what type of effect or influence we would have upon this world. If we would just live out. If we would live out what we know. If we would just walk in what we know about God. Man, this world, the influence that you and I would have upon the world would be so great that people would know that we've been with Jesus. You know, when they would walk with Jesus and they would come across other people, when they would leave, you know what they would say, those that didn't know Jesus? We know they've been with him. Oh, because it's something different about them. It's something different about that life right there. I know that this life have been with Jesus. How many can say that you have that type of an effect upon people? Come on, that there's a distinction between your life and the life of the world. That there's a big distinction between, amen, the life of the believer and the life of the non-believer. That should be some distinction. That should be some, I should be able to recognize when I see your life that this is a woman or a man of God. Because we have everything that we need. Look at verse number 4. Just as he chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Here it is, this phrase, he chose us. That means you didn't choose God. I know we use that terminology, oh man, I accepted. No, he accepted you. Yeah, he accepted me. I didn't accept, he accepted me. And when he accepted me, guess what? Then I accepted him. So he's the one that's doing the accepting, not us, because we're not smart enough to do that. We look at our lives and we say, you know what? I've looked at my life in the past, Pastor Corman, I said, man, I know I'm no good. I know I've messed up on every end. And I told you one day I'm going to tell you my story, but not today. But I know it. If it was not for the mercy and the grace of God in and on my life, I know. Because I know where I've been. I know what I've been through in my life. I know where I lived that at one point in my life, and I know it was only God that brought me out of those situations that I found myself in. It was the mercy and the grace of God saying, you know what, I got a purpose for your life. God is saying that to us this morning, I have a purpose for your life. I have something for you to do. And he chose us. It's just like, amen, the picture of God choosing Israel says they didn't. God didn't choose Israel because they was this mighty great nation. No, it was just God's love for them, and he chose them. That's how God doing us. He chose you. I don't know why. You look at yourself, I don't know why you chose me, but I'm so thankful that you did. So God reached down, and he chose us. And guess what? He chose us before the foundation of the world. It coincides with what Jeremiah says, amen, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I had ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. God knew exactly what date and time you was going to be born in, amen, what, amen, generation you was going to be born in, what you was going to experience in your life, all the trials that you was going to face in your life, and God still chose you. That says something about what God thinks about you. And every time the enemy try to speak something else in your life, you say, you know what, devil, you are a liar because God has chose me. God loves me. God honors me. And then he chose us with a purpose, to be holy and to be blameless before him. That means to be different, to be separated from the things of the world, that you and I have to, amen, exhibit some characteristics of being a born-again believer, that our life is just not, amen, just not on Sundays. We don't live the Christian life just on Sundays. We don't live the Christian life just on Bible studies or worship service. No, every day of our lives, we live in our life, amen, for Christ. Look what verse number 7 says. In him we have redemption through his blood. Hallelujah. Oh, the blood. We have redemption. You know, I used to think about that when I was first reading the word. I used to say, how you take red blood and turn something white with? I mean, that's the work of God. That's how my mind used to be thinking when I was a young believer. But we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Now, this is important. According to the riches of his grace. That means not out of the riches of his grace, because that means that, you know, God can select how much he want to give you. But according to, that means we have full access. God gives us according to the grace that he has. It's just like me being a millionaire and I give you a gift. And if I give it to you according to my wealth, that means it's going to be more than just something I select out of a bucket and give you. It's going to be according to who I am financially. That means if I'm a multi-billionaire, that means if I give you a gift, oh my God. Oh, it ain't going to be according to somebody. It ain't going to be like somebody that just, you know, you got a few thousand dollars. No, it's going to be totally different. This is how God gives us according to the grace that he has. We know that he overflows with grace. His grace is abundance. And he give us his riches of his grace according to who he is. So he redeemed us, mean that he released us from the He released us on payment of ransom. And that's the picture we get when we look at Hosea. The book of Hosea, we see how God, amen, stepped on the scene when everything had went wrong. When it looked like that she was going to be sold. Guess what? God stepped and said, no, I'm going to redeem her. This is the picture of God's love for his people. God is always reaching out to us. No matter where we find ourselves at, God is always trying to love us back in. So we have redemption through his blood. It means also someone who is a prisoner of war that has been released or been set free from that situation that they found themselves in. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's powerful. That God loves us so much that God would choose you and I, that we can walk in his word and live a life of obedience and faithfulness every day. Come on, Shannon, if you don't mind. and we'll get ready to close, that we would live a life committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our lives will reflect who God says we are. Look at verse number 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. This is Christ in you and I, the hope of glory. This is Christ working in us, Christ living in us, the power of God's word for our daily living. That's what we want. That's what God wants for us. God wants us to live our lives every day in victory. He wants us to live in such a way that the world will see our lives and decide to follow after Christ. This is what God wants for us. This is God's intent every day for us. Not some days, every day. For us to walk faithfully before our God. To choose him every day of our lives. To wake up in the morning with a determination, like the old folks used to say, I have a determination to serve God and to run on for him. I have a determination to love God. I have a determination to love people. I have a determination in my heart when I wake up in the morning that I'm going to do the right thing. I have a determination that I'm going to, amen, apply the principles of the word of God to my life, that when I go to the workplace that people will see Christ in me. I have a determination that when I leave this church service, that wherever I go, if I'm going to get something to eat, Christ is going to be exhibited in my life. Whatever I'm doing is all about Christ. That we can't get around that reality as believers, that it's all about Christ and what he done for us. And when we live that way, when we let the word of God govern our hearts and our minds, we see that the enemy, in the temptations that he bring our way, that struggle that we had, guess what? We start getting stronger. We start getting wiser in the word of God. Chapter 2 of Ephesians said, you who were dead in sin, God quickened and made alive. I mean, we were dead, and God blew his breath into us, and we became living and breathing souls for Christ. And not only did he do that, guess what else he did? He made us sit together with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and mice, and every name that is named. That means we way up there. Every trial that we will face, guess what? We above the trials. We above, amen, the kingdom of darkness, because we are seated in Christ. And when you're feeling like the day is not going well, guess what? You can think about it. You can say, man, God told me that I'm seated. You just got to get where you're seated at. Come on, the enemy going to make you look at, I made a mistake today. Because when you make a mistake and you start judging yourself, guess what? You take a different seat. God's saying, no, that's not where I place you at. I place you above the circumstance, above the mistakes that I've made in our lives, above it. Come on, let's stand and we're going to pray. Father, I believe that your word is real. I believe that the power of your word in our lives can cause us to live every day in victory. I believe that you're not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you should repent. Haven't you said it, shall you not make it good? I believe that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rise up against us in judgment, Lord, we condemn, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of you. And Lord, we've been made righteous because of what Jesus did up on the cross, Lord God.
His death, burial, and resurrection, Lord God. Now we are the righteousness of Christ. And Lord, we are seated where you've seated us. Far above principalities and powers and mights and dominions and everything that is named, Lord God. You've seated us above it. And Lord, not only that, but Lord, you've given us the helmet of salvation. You've given us the breastplate of righteousness. You've given us, Lord God, the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. You shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord God, we are girded about with truth. Lord, you told us to stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Continue to stand. Continue to press. Lord, this is my prayer for your people, Lord God, and myself. That you would give us, Lord God, the courage. Lord, as you spoke to Joshua, give us the courage to be courageous. Lord, to believe what you say. Give us the courage, Lord God, to let our light so shine that men will see. Lord, we have you as our Father. And Lord, you gave the parable out of the mouth of Jesus. Lord, you said, what father of his son would ask him for this or for that? Will he give him opposite what he asked for? Lord, we wouldn't do that as fathers. When our children ask us for things, Lord, we would give them what they ask for. They are responsible, Lord God. Lord, we being earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will you give to us who call out to you day and night? Lord, let our lives be everything that you created it to be from the foundation of the world. Let us walk in victory every day, Lord God. Let not the enemy steal another day from us. Another moment from us, Lord God. We're bringing up our past. We're bringing up our mistakes and our failures, Lord God. We're bringing up, Lord God, things that we've done or things that we have not done. But Lord, let us stand upon what your words say about us. That even when we are not faithful, you are faithful. Even when we are not faithful, you are faithful. Lord, let your word govern our minds. Let it be the foundation that we build our lives upon. And let us believe it. Let us walk in it. Let us declare it out of our mouth. Let us meditate upon it day and night. Because when we do it, Lord, you say we will have good success, and we will make our way prosperous. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the new leadership. Thank you for the new board. Thank you for the elders. Thank you for Pastor Kwame. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you for every person that's a part of your kingdom. We thank you, Lord. We lift up, Lord, the conflict in Israel. And we pray for the people of Israel and we pray for the people of Palestine, Lord God. Lord, you've called all nations to serve you. You've called all nations to repent and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray for the church in Israel. We pray for the church in Palestine. We ask, Lord God, that you would unite that body of believers, that they would know you and that they would serve you. We give you thanks and we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Can we be dismissed like this? Now unto him. Come on with me. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us receive Pastor Kwame as he comes.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cedarhousechurch.com.